getting the life I wanted. Because of the father I had growing up, I have always found it fairly easy to believe in a God who will keep me from major trouble. My dad was always there for me if there was trouble, and he was very worried about me being safe, almost as much as my mother, and so I have lived a life remarkably free from major trouble. I have never broken a bone, got stitches, needed surgery, gotten sued, gotten arrested, or gotten hit in the face more than once or twice, and that only by people my own age. I have never missed more than a meal or two here or there. I have never been sexually molested either, though a meeting person or two seemed bent on it, as I recall. My senses work, apart from my being nearsighted. My limbs work, most of the time, too, though my knees tend to pop out of socket. And I'm good at certain things, naturally, without having to try very hard. So what more do I want from God? I've always wanted three things. Number one, a job so I can make money. Number two, to fit in at a church or at least be able to connect with and enjoy other Christians. And number three, a wife and maybe even kids. God has always looked after the first one. Not a lot of money, but I've pretty much always had some kind of work. He's shown very little interest in following through on the other two, though, no matter what. You can guess which of the three have involved decades of prayer to no apparent effect. And yet, I think he's come through on those in a typical reverse fashion, like my own father would. He rescued me from a church I could never have left on my own, which was killing me spiritually. He's interfered repeatedly when I wanted a woman who was, in retrospect, not a good idea at all. He hardened the hearts of the elders in my assembly. He made sure these women really didn't understand me, really didn't appreciate me, and went off into the sunset, generally within a day or two of me telling God that if she wasn't a good idea, he was invited to get involved very directly, because if he let me, I was going for her. But this has still left me trying to deal with a God who doesn't generally tell me what he wants, often doesn't give me what I want, allows bad things to happen to good people I love for no apparent reason, and good things to happen to bad people I do not like much, again for no reason readily apparent to me. It's tough to know what to do with all of that. Atheism is the logical answer, some very logical people are quick to tell me, but F logic, I say. I have bigger fish to fry than can be caught with mere logic. I need something with a hook. Man cannot live by logic alone, though it gets teeth brushed and shoes tied. A confession. I had my heart set on being a Plymouth Brethren idiot. I wanted it all. I wanted to wear my suit and sit up there looking resplendently corporate, talking about the Bible with my beautiful submissive wife sitting next to me, all glossy and befrocked and sleek despite having given me four clean, respectful children. I wanted to fire out a cleverly prepared answer to any possible question anyone could throw at me about the Bible. I wanted to help do Bible conferences and be recorded on tape speaking at them. I wanted all of that. Oddly, God didn't seem to share my vision for my future. Didn't seem to think it would make the world a better place or something. Didn't seem to need another one of those. I believe in a God who, in his grace, despite there being no real reason I couldn't have achieved most of that Brethren stuff, made sure that I had to follow him instead of becoming the person I was raised to aspire to become and whose wife I very much coveted. He grabbed me early on and yanked my head out of my church and set me on an altogether less explicable, foreseeable path. It was as if every time I scratched the surface of Brethren dogma, picked away at it like a scab, that I'd fall through and be suddenly yanked into something much deeper and more real. And this quite against the advice of those in authority in my assembly. I think God wanted me to know him, even if it meant sacrifice. Sacrificing being a Brethren person, sacrificing a wife and kids, sacrificing having somewhere to go to get in out of the rain on Sunday morning, sacrificing the system of pleasure sacrifice. I believe all this purely from how I understand my dealings with him. Crazy, I know. It's a cliche to say, I felt the hand of God upon me. But I say that anyway, and I think that what happened is called grace. Seeing good and finding God. As part of finding God for real, I decided that church, as we were doing it, was a problem. The problem, maybe. I'm not the only Brethren-raised person who has trouble recognizing and accepting good without judgment and suspicion. To this day, it is quite difficult for me to see God in good things, to remember to look for him in things outside of those disappointing and unfulfilling all-too-human church or Christian community efforts, to see him in sunsets, in the swaying walk of a happy, beautiful woman, in the warm buzz of teasing in a comfortable group of family or friends, in the stars, in your friends meeting your friends' friends and getting along, in stuff like that. It's hard to remember to look for God in things other than hymns and prayers of self-abnegation and in grandiose vows of total surrender of self. To see God making me better, more myself, rather than only expecting to see his hand in my own vowing not to be me for him. I'm still learning to see life and connection and beauty as being good things from God, instead of distractions from proper Christian solemnity, as things I have to indulge myself in or become a rebel to enjoy. I was always taught in Sunday school that many enjoyable things were fine in their place and in moderation, but I think I was raised to elevate caution and moderation to a degree that was, ironically, immoderate. Sometimes you need to drink deeply of the cup of rejoicing. So I've been trying to live life a bit more deeply and without being careful for everything, positively crippled by caution and expecting the other divine shoe to drop and preparing to get a divine smack. I'm learning to see God in small stuff now too. Regular stuff, nice stuff, temporary stuff. It's not easy. Tasting goodness. One thing I started doing that I can really recommend is to start going around expecting good stuff to be there, just lying around, instead of always expecting the inevitable God smack. A huge secret being kept from us brethren people, apparently, is that there is good in this world, because God put it there. Not so much the world as in the human system of power currently flexing its muscles, so much as planet Earth. We can and should find it and enjoy and share all the good stuff that's here. You don't manufacture good by purging away all the evil. Good isn't an absence of evil. Good is good. It's its whole own thing. It's alive, unpredictable, and often temporary and messy. I'm committed to wading into some of it. The Bible doesn't say, "Oh, know and remember that the Lord is useful and edifying and believe that he works in your life." It says, "Oh, taste," a quite sensual word, "and see," again with the sense imagery, "that the Lord is good. He is of infinite worth, excellence, virtue, value. You can taste that stuff." But I don't feel like we trusted God and the Bible to be worthwhile and good all by themselves. Bible verses had to be useful for us and our quest to be the rightest. Otherwise, we kind of elbowed them aside. Our loss, because a whole lot of the Bible is worthwhile and of deep value for other very different reasons. I'm trying to read it that way nowadays. And I think the time we spent and the interest we took in endlessly justifying God and the Bible to others just reveals that we felt like they needed us to do that. Like their virtue wasn't obvious or self-evident to anyone but us. Not something others would be able to taste and see. So it was up to us to explain it, we apparently thought, to give such a strong show of belief that others would be pulled in. All of the pat answers and twisty arguments for the existence, relevance, and goodness of God, for creationism, and why gay marriage, divorce, early-term abortion, drinking alcohol, Harry Potter, and listening to pop music were all killing our society and bringing damnation upon us? They seem a bit shrill to me now. Desperate. I see people arming themselves with these and going looking for someone to fight as to them, in a time when most people don't usually care much about what your position on anything is. Positions are like recta. Every single person has one, but people don't necessarily want to be subjected to yours quite without warning. You can always get a reaction if you try, though, by aggressively airing your position on everything right at people, quite unprovoked. But people seldom learn anything from that. Nor do you. No one ever learns anything either when people protest and you then cry that your right to air your positions is being violated. Also, it looks less and less like we're doing all this for God, or certainly for our victims, who we're trying to logic and lecture into heaven. And it looks more and more to me like it's ourselves we're trying to convince, like we're just cheering for our own team colors. God put good stuff out there. Why not dig into some? I have exactly that fool's heart that will turn away from perfectly good fun to have a stupid argument with a person who, to all intents and purposes, is never going to understand me, nor why I think and feel the way I do. Now, one has to ask, why would I choose to argue with some annoying person, giving him or her time and priority over the attractive, warm, pleasant, kindly ones and all the things that are outside to be enjoyed? I've always been stupid like that. Doesn't seem like a recipe for success. Makes one wonder what the incentive is. How right does one need to feel before it's okay to have some fun? Virtue and being positive. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the answer to everything is being positive. That's not the secret to any improved state of emotional and spiritual health I can claim since my adolescence. I'm much more content nowadays, but being positive isn't what worked. People are always saying stuff about being positive, and often they mean nothing more than being cheerful, which clearly isn't a terribly sane or workable attitude to any number of human experiences. Just resolving to walk around being or seeming cheerful all the time isn't going to fix most problems in the world, nor is it possible or advisable for absolutely everyone all the time. In fact, there's nothing that shuts down openness and sincerity more than an environment of mandatory cheerfulness. But there's something to the idea of the positive. I'm positive there is. I've already said that the word that is usually translated virtue or virtuous in the King James Bible isn't about piety or abstinence from bad fun stuff, but about effectiveness, about power, workableness, value, excellence. Given that, we also know that there needs to be a workable, worthwhile, excellent outcome in order for us to bother with most things. Otherwise, why do them? Where's the virtue in that? For instance, it's not enough for people in an oppressive culture to simply get free of it. Sure, we can want to get free, many of us. Being free is nice and all of that, and God seems to insist upon freeing our hearts and minds whether we want Him to or not. But free to what? From what only takes you to the door to stand looking out, or maybe standing around on the lawn feeling good about not being cooped up in the house. But there's a whole world out there. If there's nothing worth going exploring to find, then why would you even get off the couch? If God wants us free from unhelpful stuff, then it's pretty sure that He wants us free to pursue good stuff also. Because it's not just a case of God allowing us to be, of Him being willing to let us be, a tiny bit freer than we've been led to believe. It's so much more. It's about God needing to free us because He needs us freer than we currently are in order to ensure Jesus didn't die for nothing terribly much. He needs us to be freer in order to do what He wants to do next, with and through and in us. In fact, God needs us to be freer so He can bless us in ways off from which we're currently cut. Seeing exactly what it is we've been doing that's dumb, ineffective, twisted, cowardly, and weak is one thing, but the decision to try to get better at it, to face the negative as part of understanding the whole and become better, all seems terribly worthwhile. I mean, avoiding looking at harsh realities in our lives isn't being positive at all. It's just being blind, obviously. It's not safe walking around like that. Contrary to the perky advice of a self-help book that's out there, I don't think it's a whit more helpful to the world if you're Tigger than if you're Eeyore. Tigger's too coked up to be of much use to anyone. Wallowing in the unpleasantness for a bit is perhaps a token step toward bettering things, insofar as recognizing that things are unpleasant and need to be bettered. But it's only a token step, something you might have to do with your feelings while they adjust to new knowledge of real obstacles. I think we have to go through life looking fairly directly at most of it. Pleasant, unpleasant, whatever. Laying aside the comforting idea that we more or less know what's what. We have to start new sometimes. I think we should be opening our minds to rethinking stuff. To God. Real God, not God as described by our pastor. Not just God from back in Bible days. No, God who even knows and gets involved in what's going on the interwebs. I think hope comes from that growth process. From trying to be more good things, not just imitating or resolving them, even, for example, vowing not to say anything negative to one's spouse at all today, love dare style, which is only about restraining real heart-deep urges or forcing outward behavior. actually looking to be transformed inside by the work of Christ over time and becoming, inside, a living, growing, saner, braver, loving, stronger person. That's where it's at. And that stuff only comes from God, who clearly has stuff in mind for the future.